Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, GP Dr. Maura Finn joins me from County Clare. And Maura, we're talking about the process of donating blood and needing a blood transfusion today. And how common is it to need a blood transfusion?
Morning, Claire. Very common. One in four people in Ireland will need a blood transfusion at some stage in their lives. And 1,000 Irish people will need blood this week. So that's, when you think about that, that's an extraordinary amount. And unfortunately, only about 3% of the eligible population who can give blood do donate blood. So I'm hoping maybe this might be a little gentle push to kind of encourage people to start donating. It's so important because, you know, from a day old baby to somebody very elderly, they may need blood. Any surgery, you have to have blood on standby, even if it's not needed. And sometimes more is needed than you might have expected. People have conditions where they lose blood excessively. People have trauma, obviously car accidents and stuff like that, where they actually lose massive amounts of blood. Or there could be genetic conditions where they don't make enough blood, or you may be on some sort of a treatment that actually destroys your blood cells. So there's many, many, many reasons why previously healthy people may actually need blood. Mm-hmm. So it's such a great thing to do.
And some blood types are more in demand than others, but unless you donate blood, how do you know what blood type you are?
Well, you don't, unless you've been pregnant. When you're pregnant, your blood type is checked. That's as much for the rhesus compatibility as it is for the ABO compatibility. But one way to find out what blood type you are is to give blood, because they always will tell you and they'll let you know. But the most common blood types are O negative. O positive is the most common blood type, and then O negative. And about 45-47% of the population is that blood type. And then it kind of gets rare as you go along. So the people who, you know, you want people who have the most common blood type to donate more, because that's the one that will be needed most. But then if you have kind of an unusual blood type, it's very important to have stocks of that available as well.
So if you have a transfusion, what complications more could arise if you got the wrong blood type?
Okay, so it's the way it's tested, you have these, it's called ABO compatibility. So A and B are these antigens that are on the red blood cells. And you either have it, you have an A1 or you have a B1 or you have none. And then there's also this rhesus compatibility, which is either negative or positive. And depending on those, your blood is checked to see what you can receive, and the blood that is available is checked to see what it has. Okay, and if you receive blood that has that makes your body produce antibodies to the blood that you're receiving, you may have a very serious reaction. It would be like a very serious immune reaction, anaphylactic reaction. But thankfully, it's a very, very safe process. And it in hospital situations, there's very strict criteria about checking the right patient, the right blood, the right time. It's something that's done very, very carefully. And then obviously the blood that's donated is screened repeatedly for viruses and other issues. But also the blood typing it's very carefully screened so that somebody does not receive the wrong blood type. Mm-hmm. Normally then in a blood transfusion, it's always possible that somebody might have a slight temperature reaction or maybe even a rash or a bit of an itch. But that's a very minor reaction and it's perfectly normal. So it's a very safe and life-saving procedure.
So then when it comes to donating blood, it's easy to donate it, but you do have to go through a process before you get to the point when the needle's in your arm.
Yeah, you do. And it's very important that the eligibility criteria is probably the most important thing. So the process has changed since COVID, as most things did, because up until a certain point, you used to actually just turn up at these big clinics and you'd be waiting and you'd kind of wait for your time. And, you know, the ones who were really cute about it knew exactly when to turn up and they wouldn't be waiting long. But now you ring and you make an appointment, which is much easier. But when you ring and make that appointment, there'll be a lot of questions screening you about, have you been sick? These are COVID related questions, but also travel related questions. Have you been recently abroad in areas that maybe malaria was endemic or West Nile virus or Zika virus? So there's many, many, many questions. And these are not to exclude people, but they're just to make sure that you're a safe candidate to give blood. And you don't want to turn up at the clinic and not be able to donate. And once you get there, Again, there's a very comprehensive questionnaire. You're asked questions about your own personal history, medication, illness, sexual practices, past history of possible transfusion, surgery or chemotherapy. Many, many questions. It's quite an in-depth thing. And then you're assessed to see if your hemoglobin is high enough for you to be able to give blood. And then you might be assessed again and have another person check you, maybe a nurse if you have some, one of these questions has raised, the answer has raised a question. And then you sit down and you give your blood.
Okay.
So it's quite a process, but it's a very enjoyable process actually, because everybody is so grateful that you've taken the time to come in, and they really help you out, and it's a lovely thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then you get this great treat of potatoes and orange juice. It used to be pints of Guinness, I think, but they don't do that anymore.
And no. So you get that afterwards, but should you be doing anything specific beforehand, preparing yourself for the donation?
Absolutely. You need to be well rested, you need to have eaten, you need to be well hydrated, and you need to have time. You shouldn't be rushing, because it does, the whole process probably does take about an hour, maybe slightly more. But, you know, the reason that you want to be hydrated is that because you're taking a volume of blood away from you, about a pint, basically. It's not a huge amount, but it can make somebody feel a little bit faint. And so if you're hydrated, that's less likely to happen. You don't want to be rushing after you've given the blood too. You want to be able to go home and maybe rest, not to be rushing out to collect children or whatever it is you might be doing normally and not under pressure. But like I said, it's an incredibly fulfilling process. You really feel great. And then they send you a text telling you where your blood has gone to. And honestly, that's a lovely thing. You know, you might get a text saying your blood has been just used in Crumlin Hospital, and you know, that does really make you feel good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's more information on giveblood.ie for anyone who is thinking about donating blood. Maura, thank you very much. And we'll talk to Dr. Maura Finn again very soon.